with me now to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. I hope everyone, young and old, has a Bible to look at. Mark chapter 7. This is a familiar story to most of you. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Same story, but a few different words, in which I chose this text for these words. This is the story of that Syrophoenician or Canaanite woman who came to the Lord pleading for her daughter. In past messages, we have looked at this and we've dwelt on the woman primarily, and we've forgotten the daughter. But this story is a true story of how our Lord saved an unclean girl. A young girl, a daughter, this woman's daughter that was full of sin and uncleanness. And the Lord Jesus Christ had mercy upon her, washed her. And in doing so, He had great mercy upon the young girl's mother as well. In verse 24, the Lord had just spoken of all the evil, verse 23, things that come from within defile a man, make him dirty, unclean. It says in verse 24, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon." Tyre and Sidon were notoriously wicked cities, known for their wickedness, full of homosexuality and promiscuousness and lewdness and so forth, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, God our Savior, arose and went there." He went there. Savior. He came into the world to save the sinner, the chief, the worst, the most unclean. Look at the verse 24. It says, "And he entered into an house." Oh my, how blessed that house was. Many houses there, weren't there, in this sinful place? You know, this little town, this little Rocky Mount, it's no better than Tyre and Sidon. Rocky Mount and Roanoke. It says he entered into a house, a certain place. And it says he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. When the Lord's in the house, he can't be hid. Can't be hid. May the Lord, when he's in a place, when he's in a person, it can't be hid. He'll make himself known. May the Lord come in this place this morning, and may we all know it when we leave here. And since he could not be hid, there was a woman that was looking for him. He hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but he revealed it unto his people, sinners. This woman found him. Or rather, he found her. Verse 25, "A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me." That's not just the doctrine. That's our salvation. If not for God's sovereign grace, electing grace in choosing us, we would not choose Him. Had not God sovereignly brought us to hear this gospel, we would not have heard it. We would not have received it. Had He not drawn us, He said, "All, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw them." Had He not sovereignly drawn us, we would not come unto Him that we might have life. If you come this morning, if you're here, it's not by accident. And if you come truly seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because He drew you. And He may have great grace in store for you. Mercy. Now this woman heard of Him, it says. She heard of Him. And if you and I hear of Christ, faith cometh by hearing. Faith is calling on Christ, looking to Christ, asking Him for mercy. If we hear of Him, hear of Christ, only Savior, the only hope, only one who can save us and our daughters, our sons, you will come to Him like this woman did. For yourself and for her, it says she fell on her face. She fell at His feet. She heard of Him. Verse 25, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit and heard of Him and came and fell at His feet. And verse 26 said she besought Him. I mean, she begged Him. She pleaded with Him that He would have mercy upon her and cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And I'm sure that this woman was a believer. Because she came. She heard. She came. She called. And the Lord had mercy on her. Our Lord said, all who hear His voice will come. And all who call, He'll answer. But her daughter was not. Her daughter didn't come to Him. Her daughter didn't see any need of Him. Her daughter's at home doing who knows what. God knows what. Her daughter was unclean. And when it says, verse 25, this certain woman whose young daughter, this young female daughter was probably in her teens, probably 16, 17, maybe 18 years old. Young daughter. She was a daughter. She was this woman's daughter. That's pretty special, isn't it? Daddy's little girl. I don't know where the father was. Daddy's little girl. Mama's baby. Years before. True story. This is true. Years before. 17 or 18 years previously. There were two young parents. Expectant parents. And the mother gave birth to this little baby girl. And they looked at her. They looked on her as a gift from God. They looked on her with such love as can only be known by those who have. They were so full of love for that baby girl. They were full of fear, worry, hopes, dreams. If they were believers at this time, the mother, father, if they were believers when that child was born, they prayed for that child. Oh, how they prayed for that child. They would wake up at night worrying about that baby. The grandparents did too. They hear a sound. And they'd run in there to see if she's still breathing. And tend to her every need without thoughts, without concern for themselves. Just run in there. If she's still breathing, they'd thank God that she was. Well, this went on for years. Night after night, year after year, and the little baby began to grow. Take her first steps. And her mother thought, this is the most adorable, wonderful child ever been born. Oh, how I love this daughter of mine. And the dad did too. And her first words, sweetest words known to man, humanly speaking, are, Daddy, aren't they? Mama? She began to grow up. Now, her parents were new at this. True story, isn't it? Her parents were new at this. Her parents didn't know anything about parenting. They'd never been parents before. So they were new at this. And they'd made plenty of mistakes. They did what they knew to do, or did not know to do. And in spite of all that, the love, in spite of the child, something began to happen to this little girl. This sweet little girl, now a teenager, began to act differently. It was already there, but it began to come out. The Lord God said in Genesis chapter 8 that man's heart is evil from his youth. David said, I was in sin in my mother conceived me. I was born in sin. And it began to come out in a bad way. She began to act like something or someone had control of her. Did. She began to have unclean thoughts, unclean desires, unclean wicked thoughts. She began to resent her parents, everything they said and everything they did. She began to resent all authority. She hated their God. She hated their religion, calling them hypocrites. She began to run around with other unclean children just like her. Feed off of their filthiness. Until finally she gave herself completely to anything and everything in uncleanness. Probably doing drugs, whatever opiates there were available at that time. Probably having indiscriminate sex with anyone and everyone, thinking nothing about it. Giving herself completely, laughing about it, bragging about it. No guilt, no shame whatsoever. Unclean. Filthy. Vile. Naked. She may have looked good to the average person on the outside. She had some people fooled. Not God. Not her parents. Not those who knew her. She was unclean. She was unclean. She was dirty. Filthy. That once cute little girl, she's now unclean. There's nothing cute about her. So this poor woman came to the only one who can do anything. The same one that did something for her. See, this mother knew. This mother was, if that, whatever that child had done, the mother, if she hadn't done it, she thought it and she wanted to do it. And if she hadn't done it, there was sovereign restraining grace of God had kept her from it. But yet the Lord had had mercy on her. And now she comes to Him, pleading with Him that He will have the same mercy on her daughter as He did for her. And she's lying at His feet, and she said over in Matthew's Gospel, "Have mercy on me." The way you'll have mercy on me is if you show mercy to my daughter. And she pleaded this way, "Oh Lord, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Sound familiar? Now, I'm quite sure that this woman probably blamed herself for the way this daughter was acting. Anybody reckon that's so? I'm quite sure she blamed herself for this daughter's uncleanness, thinking about her own past, thinking about her poor example as a parent, thinking that I'm getting what I deserve, thinking that the Lord is doing this to my child because that's what I did to him. That's not so. That's not so. God doesn't hold people ransom. God's not a terrorist. God deals with people individually for their own sins. God doesn't punish your children for your sins. Remember when they asked the Lord, "Who sinned that this man was born blind? Him or his parents?" He said, "Neither. But that the purpose of God." He was born that way. And like that blind man, the Lord's going to get great glory. And this girl, oh my. The Lord is not unrighteous. He doesn't take vengeance. But feeling her own guilt, this woman, oh my, she felt responsible. She felt her own guilt, and she felt utterly helpless and in despair over herself, and not only her daughter, and she comes and falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one. Is there anyone who can help us? She comes. Somebody said, "Yes, there's one." Is there anyone who can do anything for my daughter? I've spoken to her time and time again, and somebody said, "Yes, there's one." Only one. And she heard of him, and she came. And you know, over in Matthew's account, it says the first thing she did when she fell at his feet, she worshiped him. Before she asked him anything, she worshiped. Before he answered her word, she worshiped him. Before she received anything from him, she worshiped. Like that leper, remember? Came down and worshiped him. Oh my, the Father seeketh such. But she'd come to the right person, hadn't she? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. He's the only one that can make someone clean that's born of a sinner. He's the only one that can cleanse a sinner that's born of sinners. Make a son of God out of a son of Adam. Can do anything for our sons and daughters who are born of us, shaping in iniquity like the come forth from the womb speaking lies. There's only one. And so she pleads with him. But over in Matthew's Gospel, it says he didn't answer her. When she first, and she's begging, she's crying, she's pleading with him, "You've done it." It says he didn't answer. He answered her not a word. You remember that? Why? Because he doesn't have to. And I ask you, I ask myself, why should he? Why should he do anything for me when I, like, you remember over there in Ezekiel 36, he said, I don't do this for your sake. Why should he do anything for my daughter who doesn't care about him at all? Why? She thought. Why should he do anything? Give me one good reason why the Lord of glory should have mercy upon me, should show grace upon my daughter, should be kind and forgive me and forgive my daughter and clean my unclean child. Give me one good reason why he should do that. I'll give you a good reason.
Because he's good.
That's why. That's the only reason you can find. Because he's good, Scripture says. Because he's merciful. I'll give you more than one. Because he's merciful. Because Scripture says he delights to show mercy. Because that's who he is. He said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. I'm going to proclaim my name. That's my name. The Lord is good. Because he takes pleasure in them that fear him. And them that hope in his mercy. He loves it. Because he delights to show mercy. Because he's ready to pardon. He waits to be gracious. Because, give me one good reason. I'll give you a dozen. Because he's kind. Because he's done it for others. Because that's his name. I'll give you a good scripture. Let me give you not only a good reason, but a good scripture. And it's worthy of all acceptation. He came into this world. He arose and went to Tyre and Sidon, the worst of the worst, to save sinners, even the chief, the most unclean. That's why. That's a good reason. To the praise of the glory of His grace. And that's what this woman pleaded. O Son of David, O Christ, for your name's sake, have mercy. Lord, wash her thoroughly from her iniquity. Cleanse her from her sins for thy great name's sake. Pardon her iniquity, for it is great. The Lord didn't answer her, did he, at first? Does that mean he's not going to? He didn't answer her at first. Does that mean he's not going to? She's pleading with him. Surely he'll answer. He didn't answer her at first. Does that mean she should give up? No, don't ever. Ever give up. She kept asking. And our Lord said this. Look at this. He said, remember he said, it's not fit to give the children's bread to dogs. Verse 27. It's not meat to cast it unto dogs. What'd she say? That's true. Over in Matthew, she said, truth, Lord, it's truth. Everything you say about me is truth. Everything you say is truth. But, she said, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. You see, and the Lord marveled at this faith. But she's not asking for great riches. She's not asking for a job. She's not asking for this and all of that. She's asking for mercy upon her daughter. She's just asking for mercy. She's not asking for great riches, but just a few crumbs of mercy. Crumbs. Crumbs, John. This is a greater than Solomon. You remember Solomon's table? Nobody got crumbs. You reckon his dogs got... My dogs don't get crumbs. But she feels like an unworthy dog, doesn't she? If you're... The Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't give out crumbs. Scripture talks about an abundant entrance shall be ministered unto you. Abundant pardon. Remember Joseph, his sorry brothers came to him with sacks. What did he send him home with? Crumbs. No. Wagon loads. Mercy. Oh, Lord, if you'll just spare him, spare her. Oh, my. When this is all over, you're going to sing of the praise of the glory of my abundant grace. Well, look at this. It says in verse 28, Lord, the dogs eat the crumb from the children's table. And he said unto her, with a word. Verse 29, he said unto her, for this same go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. With a word, the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced her clean. Our Lord said to His disciples, now are you clean through the word. If the Lord just speaks the word. See, this is why she came to Him. I can't do anything. Nobody can do anything with her. You can. Just speak the word. The word is His power. This is why we have our children under the sound of His word, hoping, praying, beseeching the Lord. Lord, you did this to me. Would you please do it to him? Speak! Please speak the word. Pronounce him clean. Make him clean through this blood of the Lamb, through the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Only way. Only way. And he did. He did. He did. Now, if he did it for one, he did. When she went home, verse 30, when she came home to her house, she found a new daughter. A new daughter. The devil gone out of her. Her daughter was laying on the bed. Laying on that bed that she once committed all sorts of uncleanness on. Now, she's lying there, I'm quite sure, praying. Calling on a God she'd never called on before. Broken. But no, she's been healed. Feeling unclean. No, really, now she's clean. You know what I'm talking about. Weeping, and her mother came in, started rejoicing because she's weeping. Brother Barner, this is a true story. Some of you have heard it. Years ago, he was holding a meeting somewhere, and a mother and father had a daughter, teenage daughter like this one, who was nothing but a heartache and trouble on drugs and all that sort of thing, and they couldn't do a thing with her. And they brought her to the services, though, against her will, but they came, and she came, and they brought her to the services to hear Brother Barner, and they spoke to him afterward and said, Brother Barner, would you please speak to our daughter, please? And like me, you know, he knew the only thing that would do any good for that child is if God spoke to him. He agreed, and he spoke to that young girl afterward, impudent, looking at him, didn't want to talk to him. And he said to her, young lady, he said, I want you to do something for me. He said, I want you to go home and get in your closet and you ask the Lord God to show you yourself. Show you what you are. And he left. He came back sometime later. And the parents came to him and said, Brother Barnard, since you were here last time, our daughter did something wrong. He said, what? She said, she's miserable. She's miserable. We can't seem to give her any peace, anything. She's just torn all to pieces. Would you talk to her? And he said, okay. Knowing that the only one that could do her any good is that the Lord would speak to her through His Word. But He did. And he said, young lady, he said, what? He said, now I want you to go home and ask the Lord to show you Himself. He came back. It's a new creature. Lord had brought a clean thing out of an unclean. The devil gone. I say to you, fathers and mothers, as long as Christ lives, there's hope. Right? As long as this gospel is being preached, there's hope. That's why Peter said, to whom coming? Keep coming. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith like this on the earth, like the importunate widow? Yeah, He will. And He'll answer that cry. Yes, He will. Young girls and boys, Elizabeth, Mavis, Blair, Anna, Laura, Philip, Lauren, go home. You ask the Lord to have mercy upon yourself. You hear me? Do you hear me? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. And maybe, who can tell? Huh? Who can tell? Who can tell? The Lord just might give us a new daughter. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Men and women. Not just young people. Go home. Keep calling. Keep calling. There's a hymn in our book we know well. Number 100. Number is it? Sherry, we can sing this without the piano. Number 188. You know it well. It's taken from Zechariah 13, which says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open the house of David, for the inhabitants of Israel, for all sin and uncleanness." There is a fountain. Stand with me. You know this hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain, lose all their guilty stain, lose all their guilty stain, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoice to see that crown in his face. And there may I, though vile as he, my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there have I washed all my sins away. Last verse. Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more, be saved.